Hallelujah. Go a little further down. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Verse 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. Turn over to chapter 28. Verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Man, the earth was shaken during that time. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Hallelujah. And he said, come, and he said, come, and he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Hallelujah. I'm looking at this particular text, and I want to stay in the vein of the word the Lord gave me this month for shift. It says, truly, he is risen. Truly, the true shift. The true shift is not an outward shift. It is a inward shift. So as we focus on this word this morning, the true shift, I want you to focus on shifting in and not shifting out. Tell your neighbor, shift in. Amen. I want to begin this morning. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to begin this morning just to share a few truths as it relates to where God has us, and so that we can really embrace his word. The word is good all by itself, because truly God showing his power and might during a time in which they had beat Jesus, which he was whipped 39 times to cover every book in the Old Testament and also to bring healing for everybody. Because they whooped him on that Good Friday, we can be healed. Isn't that good news? If it wasn't for the whooping, we would not be able to be healed. But God said, I have to fulfill my law, my writing, my scripture has to be fulfilled. So they took 39, he took 39 stripes for the healing, only to be crucified on the cross, and the crucifixion brought death, and without his death, there would be no righteousness. Christ dies upon upon the cross, but it did not end there. Because he died upon the cross, the Bible says on the third day he rose again. And when he rose with all power and brought on life. Because truly every man was sentenced to death. And when Christ came, every man was now able to receive life. The life that we receive is not the life that we is manifested through the flesh when we come out the baby's womb, but the life that we receive through his resurrection is eternal life, which means we are gonna get rid of these old bodies one day, and we're gonna be transformed into some real nice body. I know we try to take care of these bodies, losing weight and all that, but one day you ain't have to worry about none of that, because your body gonna be off the hook. And it will stay just that way because we will be transformed into this eternal life that Christ gave us through this resurrection power. During this move of God was the greatest move that was ever recorded. This move of God was the greatest shift. We hear talking, I hear it all the time. Oh yeah, we're in a paradigm shift. No, the paradigm shift has already happened. Get with it. All you gotta do is shift into it and stop talking about what's about to happen and know that it already happened and go into what has already happened and you won't have to worry about what's happening because you're in the happening because it has already happened. It is something that the church is still trying to embrace, a paradigm shift, and the paradigm shift has already happened. Now, the world looks at the paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is a shifting that changes everything. And so when internet came along, it changed everything. People stopped filing, having all these big file cabinets. Now they can file the things that they took 30 and 40 file cabinets, they can file at the touch of a few keys and go into what's called an internet and hold everything. As a matter of fact, if you didn't get with the times, you would be still archiving boxes. But we found now that the boxes that were even being archived, all that stuff has been put onto a CPU because it's changed everything. Don't you remember when DNA came along? That was a paradigm shift. When DNA came along, it changed everything. As a matter of fact, the doctors can find out more about who you were in the genetics and find a better match for a kidney. So the kidney success rate, the transfers became more successful because DNA changed everything. As a matter of fact, because of DNA, Maury Povich could say, you are the father. It changed everything, and there was no dispute. As a matter of fact, even lawyers embraced the change. They would not even prosecute the same. They would use DNA to prove a point because it changed every time. Somebody say shift. It was a shifting in the earth realm where it changed everything. But everything as it relates to world order, and we are so fascinated about world order when the blood of Jesus really changed everything. We can get excited about DNA. We can get excited about science, but you need to know and understand when Jesus' blood came out of him off of that cross onto the ground, it changed everything. As dirty as you were, when that blood hit the ground, it changed everything. You might have been in that same hog pen with that prodigal son, living lascivious and hanging out and doing all the wrong stuff, but the blood that hit the ground changed. It was such a powerful shift that I love how the text is defined. It says that the veil was torn from top to bottom. And the veil represents the holies of holies going into the holies of holies. And so going into the holies of holies, back in the Old Testament, only the priest was allowed to go into the holies of holies. And the priest himself he needed to keep himself pure and clean. And so he would study and keep the words of the Lord, but there was some sin even in the priest. But the sin that was in the priest, if it was willful sin, when he went into the veil, he wouldn't come out of the veil alive. Therefore, when the priest went in, they would tie a rope to the priest. And he would go in with bells. And if they didn't hear the bells anymore, and the priest didn't come out in time, they would begin to pull the rope. And he would drag him out, and he would not be alive anymore because he had willful sin in his life. So he went in with the blood of animals to purify not only his sins, but the sins of many. And the blood, back in the Old Testament days, it did not cover all sin. The blood of the sacrificial animals would only cover sin that was unknowing. You know how when you mess up in sin and then you realize, oh, I messed up? Those sins were covered. But how about the sin where you know you're not supposed to do it? And you say, well, I'm a work in progress. I'm just gonna do it anyway. And the thing about it is, some of us will say, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do. Can I just talk to the ones that'll be real? You know you're not supposed to do it. And you ask God to forgive you for something that you know you are going to get in trouble for. In other words, God, I'm about to violate your law and order. Forgive me for it. And then you wonder why you catch all this hell here on earth. It's because you went against the laws of God. And when you go against the laws of God, there are always consequences in anything that we do. If you obey God, you have a consequence of blessing. If you disobey God, you have a consequence of curses. So I have a question for you. Which one do you want? And so when I see this picture, it is like when we want to stay in sin and let our mind see, most sin is birth in the mind. And everybody says, this mind that we have, Paul says it well this way in Philippians. He says, put this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because, and then he begins to describe the mind of Christ and how he suffered into humility, and it was all about other folks instead of about himself. And in this life, we have made it so much about ourselves, and we have worked on ourselves, and we're really working on ourselves on the outside instead of working on, ooh, goodness, that good stuff on the inside of you where Christ dwells. We get it all wrong, and we work on the outside. You know, I took a little ride this year. I took a little ride because I was saying, Lord, why is it that everybody gets so excited about Easter? And they make sure they want to come to church. And for 51 weeks out of the year, they live any kind of way. And then they say, oh, it's Holy Week. Wait a minute, the word says, be holy, for I am holy. And it did not say for 51 weeks, be who you want to be, and for 1 week, be holy. It says, be holy, for I am holy. I am the Lord thy God. I change not, and we ought to not change either. If God has shifted us into holiness, then we ought to just mess up and just be holy anyway. Accidentally on purpose. The Bible says, it says, behold, the veil was torn from the very top to the very bottom. Because when the veil was torn, that changed everything. That means that once the veil was ripped, that we have access to now go to God for ourselves. No longer do we have to depend on a man to go to God for us. Let me share something with you. No man can go to God for you. God wants a relationship with you, one on one. You cannot get a relationship by other folks going to church for you. You cannot get a relationship with God by other folks praying for you. But we are so quick to say, pray for me. Okay, I will pray for you after you tell me you prayed for you. Because I'm not gonna pray for you if you're not gonna do right. I'm gonna pray for you if you can join with me, because the Bible says if we can come into agreement, then we can ask anything and it shall be done. I'm not gonna do it unless you are gonna sign on with me. As a matter of fact, I went to the doctors and I'm dealing with some issues with my neck and my back, and I went to a therapist, and when I saw her, I said, "You're the one." She said, "What do you mean I'm the one?" I said, "You're the one that God has assigned to help me." I said, "You're gonna do this." She said, "Yes, I am the one. But the only way it's gonna get done, if we do it together."
That's right.
We have to understand that God works in relationships. Do you realize that God, when he got ready to do something, he didn't just single out one person and say, "Get it done"? Moses, yeah, he used Moses, but Moses had an Aaron. Yeah, he used David, but David had a Jonathan. Because God is big on relationship. And so he says, when I get ready to do big things, I'm going to create big relationships. And big relationships don't look like the way you think they're supposed to look. God will hook up two nobodies to do something astronomical. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to come to. As a matter of fact, God says, "I use the foolishness of man to create my wisdom." So when I went on my field trip, I'm driving this weekend and I'm seeing, I said, "Let me go to the mall." And I'm seeing everybody picking out their dresses and their suits and their tie. And I'm watching it. And I'm sitting back and I'm like, wow, look at them. And I get more calls during the week. As a matter of fact, the doctor even told me, she said, "You busy this week." I said, "Oh, yeah, it's Holy Week." I don't know why everybody wants 1 week to be holy. Why don't you get holy in the 4th of July? When they having skinners in, or out in, you know, all the freakneeks and all that stuff. Get holy that week. Can I just tell the truth? And so I'm watching, and then last night I'm watching everybody just so excited about Easter. And I'm loving it because they're talking about Jesus. But what's gonna happen next week? Holy Week is not just 1 week. But the world has gotten so focused on what's happening around them that they're trying to fit in. And so I was at Burlington last night. Oh, and I was watching. Just meeting people, smiling. And the man, he was getting his stuff. Another man was getting his tie. I got to get my tie for tomorrow. Yeah, because it's going blankety blank down.
Right? Holy.
This is what's happening. It's the world wants to fit the word in, and the word is all powerful, and we should be fitting into the word instead of the world trying to fit in. And so I'm watching everybody trying to get ready for today, and you know what I looked at? Everybody was preparing on the outside. can you get ready for God on the outside? Oh, don't get me wrong. You look nice, and I appreciate it. Ain't nothing wrong with looking nice. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you spend more time trying to work on the outer you, when the outer you is going to come to an end one day, and the inner you is what's eternal. So why don't we work on what's eternal? Everybody should have started off the week trying to have a beyond the veil experience, wanting to get closer to God, not wanting to somebody to pray for you and stop praying these 2 minute cute little reserve prayers and just get beyond the veil until you lose yourself and don't even know what you're saying out your mouth, where the Spirit has began to make intercession for you because you're in the presence of God. That's a beyond the veil experience, and that's what Jesus did for us when the veil was ripped. It allows you to come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible said, come boldly. Tell your neighbor, get bold with it. It's time now for the church to be bold about approaching God. You shouldn't approach God with your head, oh Lord, oh, I'm just going through. No, you approach that throne with boldness. Oh God, you are the King of Kings. I know you have my situation worked out already. Just get me together while you usher me into what's already worked out. I know it looks all bad, but since I'm with you, it's going to be good. When you get bold like that and begin to speak the word of God back to God, the word of God takes you over instead of being overtook by your situation. Now get this. It says the veil was torn to give us access. Say access. Now, most of us, if you have access, you go in. Right? You get tickets to a concert, that's your access. And if you be blessed while you're going in the concert and somebody hand you some backstage passes, I guarantee you go backstage because you have access. Now, you have access to kingdom living. So why aren't we operating in what we have access to? What do you have access to? Well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I am the King's kid. So then everything in the kingdom, I have access to it. But the reason why I cannot get it, because my mind is still shaped in the world standard, instead of allowing my mind to be transformed into kingdom living. And then thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You have the power to pull the kingdom down if you will believe. That's why Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We see the second thing says that the earth quaked. Now, I was looking at the earth, and in order for the earth to quake, that means that the earth has to shift. And so when God got ready to do something with his son, he says, I'm shifting you from death to life. And so you don't get it twisted, the thing that you think you're standing on, let me shift that too. Because he's had to demonstrate that he's all powerful. Meaning that, listen, when he shifted the earth, it changed everything that's on the earth, which means that there was going to be a time when you were going to shift because you are still in the earth realm. And God does not leave us on our way to the death realm. At a point in time in our life, he shifts us. Somebody say shift. So even though you were once living in sin and couldn't get out of sin, I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't you who got you out. It was God who got you out of sin. The earth was shifted a long time ago. And in a point in a time that you would shift out of your dark ways into his marvelous light, and by grace, it upheld you until God shifted you. It wasn't the people you were around. It was God's grace that has always walked with you. You know, when you was a chief sinner like Paul, most of us used to sin real good. I know it. And the reason why you stayed in sin for so long? That's right, because you liked it. And the reason why others are still in it is because they like it. And the reason why they like it is because they haven't tasted what you've tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you begin to share the love of God with others, they'll taste it. And once they taste it, it's over. I don't want nothing else. I have shifted into a new realm. I got new taste buds. Everything that tastes good to me is coming out the Word. Yeah, that the rock split. Now the rock split. Why the rock split? Well, I was thinking about it, and I was looking up implosion, and the temperature of a rock can get so hot that it busts open. The teaching on the rock busting open, it says when it busts open, it makes a loud, tremendous noise. Now get this. I'm gonna show you something. When Jesus was on the cross, there wasn't no praise. A week prior, he told them, if there ain't no praise, I'm gonna hear from a rock. So when the earthquake, God said, I need some praise. So he split the rock, and the rock sent out a sound. Is there anybody here who's ready to let out a sound unto the Lord? Even though your situation may not look good, when you release a praise unto God, it releases resurrection power that your situation cannot stay the same, because God moves in praise.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
A few days later, they said that they put him in the tomb. That he died on the cross, and they put him in the tomb. Now he goes into the earth for 3 days. Now I don't know about you, but I always get into the Word. I try to use my sanctified imagination. Why would God put him into the earth? I believe that when he went down there for 3 days, he went down and unlocked all the graves. Everybody that was in death, he had to unlock them from death. Why do I believe that? Because it said that when the rock split, the dead folks got up. Now, they didn't get up with their resurrected body because he had not risen yet. But the Bible says he unlocked dead situations. When the earth quaked, when everything shifted, everything that was dead, he made it alive. All the saints that were in him, that believed in him, all of those that were chosen by God, they said those ones got up from the grave, and I'm telling you, it might have freaked me out if I was standing by the cross and I seen folks that was dead just walking around talking about, what's up? But that's what happened. God will do some stuff that will freak you out. God will do some stuff that will make you know that only he is God. When God does a shift in your life, it might not look the way you want it to look, but when God does it, he's working out something that is good for you. Somebody shout, shift.
Shift.
Hallelujah. We want to shift when it's good. Everybody in here likes to shift when it's good. You know, going down the road, you got a new sports car, and it's good. As you shift it, it's good. But when you shift into something that you thought was going to be good, but it don't look good. You know, like when Joseph was shifted, oh, yeah, I'm about to be somebody. Everybody gonna bow down to me. And then he got shifted into the jail cell, sold into slavery. Huh? God's promises are not reversed in your life. What God spoke to you from the beginning, he's going to bring it to pass. Why? Because this shift, it's not up to you. This shift is his doing. He saved you. He owns you. He loves you. He's changing you. You're not changing. He's changing you. Because if you change, you'll change back. But when he changes you, you can't change back because you're not more powerful than him. And so instead of saying, I'm going to change, I'll just say, God, change me. And so when God changes you, you cannot go back to who you want to be because he changed you to be who he's called you to be. Say, change me, Lord. So while he was in the grave for 3 days, he was working on kingdom business. And 3 days later, after all of this shift, he showed us on the cross a shift. He showed us in the garden a shift. When he was in the garden and he was praying, oh, take this from me. Then he said, not my will, but thy will. He shifted. Then he was on the cross and he was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then a shift happened and he said, Father, unto thy hands I give my strength. He surrendered, a shifting. God wants to bring us to a shifting of surrendering the inward man. God, listen, stop wanting to work on everything on the outside without putting priority on the inside. Put 2 Corinthians 4:16 on the board. Now we have to understand, God is up to something. Now, the resurrection didn't stop thousands of years ago. When Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrecting souls right here, now, today. His goal is to resurrect things that look dead and bring them to life. Everything that, listen, without God, everything is dead. But with God, you have life, and you have life eternally. Now it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. If stuff is happening in your life, that is the outward man. God is going to allow things to happen so that he can have more of you. And the thing about it is most of us don't want to give us up. We want to please ourselves. Somebody say shift. Because you cannot please yourself and God at the same time. So we're going to have to make up our mind. Who do you want to please more? God? Or you? That's a question that we really need to take an evaluation every day. Who am I going to please? Am I going to please God? Or am I going to please myself? It's time for the church to shift into being the church. Now, the church has one head. That's Christ. He didn't save you so that you could operate you. He saved you so that he can have full control of your life. He wants all of you. He don't want you just on Sundays. He don't want you just on Easter. He wants to consume your thought process every day. That's why he saved you. That's why he rose, so that he can have you. And we want ownership of ourselves because we are still focused on too much worldly stuff, arguing and fighting in the church instead of being the church. You want to know when you really are out of his will? When you pointing your finger at somebody else. When you pointing your finger at what's wrong.
Because let me share something with you. God allowed Jesus to get beat. He allowed it. There was purpose in it. Was it good? I used to have a problem with Good Friday. How can you call it good after what they did to Jesus? But you know, I had an attitude. Why? Because I didn't know any better. If it wasn't for Good Friday, then how could we ever get healed? Because it was that Friday that put healing in place. And that's why it's so good. But we would look at it and say, it's not good. Him being crucified, that's horrible. But it's good. And so God allows things to happen in our life that's horrible. Somebody say shift. It is not for you to focus on what is happening on the outside. When something is happening on the outside that's horrible, you know what that means? Shift inward. Why? Because the inward man is being renewed. And the way he renews the inward man is by crushing the outward man. And so when things look bad on the outside, it's really he's doing some renewing on the inside. And some of us be praying, God, change me. God, I want to be more like you. God, I want to be closer to you. And then all hell breaks loose on the outside. And you say, God, what are you doing to me? He is doing an inward shift in you so that you can focus more on what's going on the inward man. And when the inward man gets excited, it brings an outward praise. When an outward praise hits the atmosphere, it brings change to the world. And that's what's wrong. We are not focused on the inward man to release a sincere outward praise, because when praise hits the atmosphere, it changes everything.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
You ought to be splitting rocks with your praise.
Amen.
Let me close. When Christ was on the cross, he was abolishing the sin that is holding man captive so that he can give you a new hope. A hope that doesn't look like this world's hope. Your hope is eternal. When he rose, he gave you victory. Over what? Everything. Even when it doesn't look like it, put a comma there, because it's not over. So many of us, we see something that's not looking right in our life, and we put a period. But God does not stop there. He promised you victory. And so he gives us what's called resurrection power, which means that the inward man raises above it. And so when you shift to the inward man, you become more like him, so that your situation isn't so big anymore because you're more like him. And so you see it from a whole different perspective. Have you ever been crushed by anything? And then when you came out of it, one of the sins that you had so much trouble with, you just don't even do it anymore? See, God will use some trouble to deliver you from something that you've been having problems with. And so sometimes we look at trouble and say, oh, it's all bad. But trouble works for good. It's called the true way. And I have some good news for you. When Christ died on the cross, his blood came down and it hit the dirt. And it covered the dirt on the ground, which means he says, I will cover every sin on this earth. So every man now has the right to be covered and cleansed unto righteousness. And then we accept Christ, and the Bible says, John 3:16, if you believe, you shall be saved. And so many of the believers, we rush into the church and we shout, we believe in Jesus, and we believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, but our life don't change. Why? Why won't our life change? Matthew 7, 21. Our life don't change, but we say we're saved. If you're a believer, if I believe in something, then whatever I believe in, the action line up with it. Somebody say amen. How many of you believe that the chair would hold you when you came in? Did it hold you? Did you test it before you sat down? You just sat on down because you have more faith in the chair than you have in God. Because you question God, but you never question that chair. When you believe in something, you take action in that something. So he tells Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to write my word on my people's heart, and I'm going to put it in their mind. He says, I'm going to do that. God says, I'm going to do that. He said, I'm going to do that to my people. Now, once God comes into you, that is his word, the Spirit of God. When it comes into you, it is written. You belong to him. That makes you a believer. Right? If you're a believer, you ought to change. Not ought to change, you're going to change. If you're a believer, see, a lot of it, oh, I could just do anything because the blood of Jesus. No, it don't work that way. And because it doesn't work that way, yes, if you believe in God, you shall be saved. And he becomes your lordship, and you want to please him more than you want to please you, because you believe that he is who he is, and that he dwells inside of you, and that he leads you along the way. That is your belief system. That is what saves you. And once God saves you, you cannot unsave yourself. But that doesn't mean you keep living any kind of way. If you're saved, you start changing the ways, and you no longer want to do what you want to do. You want to do what he wants you to do, because he has changed you. So then it's not what's on the outside. You have shifted onto what's on the inside of you, which is all powerful. And for this, check this out. And for this reason, the church has people in the church doing any old thing. Because they, oh, once saved, always saved. Yeah, once saved, always saved. But the problem is, are you really saved? Or are you just coming to church, saying something with your mouth, but your actions don't line up with what you say? If you are truly saved, your actions will line up with who you are saved by. It's like my DNA comes from my mama and daddy. And when I was a little kid, I used to come home and my mom said, well, you can't go there and you can't do that. And I said, well, Timmy and Robert get to go and Timmy and Robert get to do it. She said, well, Timmy and Robert don't belong to me. And I messed around and hung out with Timmy and Robert one day, and mama and daddy found out, and they said, not my child. And they put something on me. And then that DNA, they said, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And that's what God said. When you have my DNA, you're going to do what I want you to do, because you are a witness. When others see your life, they're supposed to see who I am through you. And listen, so when I went somewhere, my mother used to tell me, all right, I'm going to get a report back. And when I get the report back, they better come back and tell me that it was your child over there, because I knew it was your child because of the way they behaved. Not everyone. So Jesus says the true way, the true. Somebody say, let's go in. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who, what? The will of God, the will of my Father in heaven. So he who what? He who talks it? Who acts it out? Oh, he who does it, the will of God. Now, Jesus says over and over in the Bible, and then God uses all of the prophets to say, if you keep my commandments, right? If, It is impossible for man to keep God's commandment through the outward man. Only way we can keep God's commandment is through the power of God, which dwells in us. Somebody say, go in. When it gets tough on the outside, go in. Look. He says, not everyone. Now, verse 22. This is the part that tripped me out. Will say to me in that day. What word is missing? Huh? Many. Wait. The Bible says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? We sang on the praise team. In your name, I was on the usher board. Wait, I gave every week. Let's go. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You never shifted. And so then, we rest. If you don't go in, you'll be left out. We have to shift into him. God wants a inward relationship with you. If you stay out, there's no connection. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants you to come closer to him. We can't just talk about it. Our action, we have to be about it. He gave this great shift. Now, let me tell you why. Because when we go in together, it changes everything. And it's time now for us to go in and be who he's called us to be. The resurrection power that he demonstrated coming out of the tomb, there's a whole lot of folks in the tomb that you have the power to bring out if you're willing to go in. And I'm talking about going in so the power that's in you can be released out of you. Going in. He did it all so he could be all for you. Amen. Give God a hand of praise.